Good morning, everyone. Morning, morning. I'm Nisha Rose with the Black Caucus of Health Workers, and this is our session on, in the context of vaccine disparities, exploring issues of race, culture, and communication inequities. The order, kind of the run of show, if you will, this morning I'm going to introduce all of the presenters, read all of their bios, and then each one is going to present for about 10 to maybe 15 minutes. At the very end, we're going to hold all questions, so make sure you jot your questions down. And at the very end, we're going to have an open discussion for about 20 minutes on the entire panel, open to everyone. And so I'm going to read the bios of the presenters first, just so we can kind of keep flowing time-wise. So Dr. Sandra Ford is an associate professor in the Department of Community Health Services in the UCLA Fielding School of Public Health and founding director of the Center for Public Health Critical Race Praxis. She earned her doctorate from the Department of Health Behavior and the Gilling School of Public Health at the University of North Carolina. Prior to joining UCLA, she completed postdoctoral fellowships in the Department of Social Medicine at the University of North Carolina and the Department of Epidemiology at Columbia University, where she was a W.K. Kellogg Foundation Kellogg Health Scholar. Dr. Ford's areas of experience include social determinants of HIV-AIDS disparities, the public health critical race praxis, critical race theory, and health disparities affecting sexual minority populations, populations that include lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender persons. The overarching aims of her research are to explain specific ways that societal inequalities limit access to public health resources or contribute to high rates of the disease among socially marginalized populations, and to enhance the conceptual methodological tools used to produce knowledge about racialization and population health. Her work has been published in the American Journal of Public Health and the Annals of Epidemiology, Ethnicity and Disease, Social Science and Medicine, and other referred journals. She has received a number of competitive awards, including a 2005 North Carolina Impact Award and a 2014 Kaiser Permanente Birch Minority Leadership Development Award. Dr. Ford. Second, we have Dr. Quinn. She's from the University of Maryland School of Public Health, the Associate Dean for Academic Affairs Professor, Department of Family Science, Senior Associate Director for the Maryland Center for Health Equity. All right. And our final presenter is going to be Dr. Ruth Carlos. And Dr. Carlos is a professor of radiology and the assistant chair of clinical research at the University of Michigan Department of Radiology. A health services researcher, she focuses on understanding the value of imaging encounters as teachable moments to improve health behavior, emphasizing cancer control and prevention. She chairs the ECOG ACIN's Cancer Care Delivery Research Committee within NCI Community Oncology Research Program, where her evolving work assesses the impact of healthcare reform on access to and use of imaging screening services. So this is our panel this morning of experts with lots of experience we have here. And our first, we changed the order slightly in terms of the session, so we're going to start with Dr. Ford presenting on public health critical race practice, key considerations for understanding and addressing vaccine and disparities.
Good morning. I'd like to thank Dr. Sandra Quinn for organizing this panel and inviting me to participate on it. I'd like to acknowledge the University of Maryland Center for Health Equity for support in my presentation and in an ongoing collaboration around public health critical race praxis. The title of my talk is Public Health Critical Race Praxis, Key Considerations for Understanding and Addressing Vaccine Disparities. Now, the successful implementation of vaccination programs over the decades represents a major accomplishment of the field of public health that has helped contain the spread of infectious diseases and reduce morbidity and mortality, as we saw in the short film in the opening plenary yesterday. For vaccination programs to succeed, vaccine uptake must be widespread across the entire population. And varying levels and types of racial and ethnic diversity have always characterized the U.S. population. Conceivably, therefore, vaccine-related research and prevention efforts could be undertaken in a colorblind manner, that is, without specifically focusing on issues of race, ethnicity, and more fundamentally, racialization or racism. And on the surface, vaccine research that is grounded in a colorblind orientation represents the optimal and most appropriate approach to promoting public health in a diverse population. However, racialization, and by racialization, I'm actually using that term interchangeably with racism to refer to processes by which society defines and orders groups differentially along racial lines. Racialization has always been salient to the field of public health in both problematic and constructive ways. Therefore, vaccine research, especially among racially and ethnically diverse populations, can benefit from considering the racialized context in which it is conducted. Just as an example, let us consider one phenomenon with which many people here are probably familiar, and that is that conspiracy beliefs about the origin of the HIV/AIDS epidemic are endorsed by substantial numbers of U.S. blacks. And by conspiracy beliefs, I'm talking about beliefs such as that the HIV/AIDS epidemic represents a genocidal effort on behalf of the U.S. government to get rid of all blacks or other undesirable populations. Now, completely colorblind research approaches will miss ways that racialized social experiences of U.S. blacks, both historically and contemporarily, might lead many blacks to conclude that a conspiracy explains persistent and disproportionate impacts of the epidemics among this particular population. And the logic of a completely colorblind research orientation might actually lead researchers to pursue, first and foremost as an intervention, simply trying to convince blacks that this belief is misguided, right? So that would be the primary focus of the interventions rather than addressing the underlying behavioral changes that we would be concerned about. Now, a partially colorblind approach to research views the phenomenon as stemming from group characteristics, so focusing on race, not necessarily anything else, but focusing on race and trying to find characteristics about racialized groups that would explain their endorsement of these seemingly extreme beliefs. And these interventions are likely to focus on characteristics that we can link to the group, that we can say are attributes of the group. And most notably, thinking about culture in a static way, but not in the dynamic ways in which it interacts with the social context around us, and in particular, with the racialized social context here. By contrast, a critically race-conscious orientation to research tries to understand how historical and ongoing experiences of racialization may lead to the logical conclusion among some blacks that HIV/AIDS conspiracies might undergird the disproportionate burden of HIV/AIDS that occurs among African Americans. And I'm not suggesting that in educating blacks that we should not challenge the potentially detrimental effects of these beliefs. And I believe that Colin Zariambua's PEN 3 model is an excellent reminder for us here that every culture has positive, existential, and negative components, and it's important to distinguish existential from negative or harmful characteristics before trying to intervene. In my remaining time, I will outline ways the public health critical race praxis might inform our ongoing vaccine research. Okay. So in 2010, noted health educator Colin Zariambua, whom I just mentioned, and I created the public health critical race praxis, which can be thought of as a racial equity movement within the field of public health that draws on critical race theory, which originated in the field of law. Public health critical race praxis attempts to go beyond merely documenting health disparities in order to understand and eliminate the power hierarchies that undergird them. So it strives to identify and illuminate specific mechanisms by which racism contributes to higher rates of risk and disease in minority communities, provide empirical evidence that communities can use in their ongoing social justice efforts, and challenge existing racial narratives by offering alternative frameworks grounded in the lived experiences of people who reside in society's margins. Health crits, or critical race theorists within public health, draw on theory, critical analyses of their lived experiences, active engagement with community members, as well as conventional scientific methods. And this is an iterative process that continuously informs the research, from identifying the issue to study to conducting research and taking action based on the study findings. Now, public health critical race praxis recognizes that disease causation is multifactorial, and it prioritizes trying to understand the portion of the relationships that can be attributed to racialization. Thus, it asks two important questions. First, how is racialization relevant to the problem at hand? And then, how is racialization relevant to the production of knowledge about the problem? The public health critical race practice comprises both a research approach and a set of concepts or principles. It has three key components: a race-conscious lens through which the investigator views the problem and conducts all aspects of the research. Four main phases of the research process. We call these four phases the four focuses. While working within each focus, an investigator draws on one or more of the 10 principles to carry out the goals of that particular focus, and then the 10 principles, which are the basic tools of the public health critical race practice approach. I'd like to highlight just three key concepts: race consciousness, critical self-reflection, and social construction of knowledge this morning. Race consciousness is the backbone of the methodology. To be clear, it refers to one's awareness of the mechanisms that produce racial groups. It does not connote a focus on race. So it's focusing on racism, racialization, racial dynamics, not on race. For critical race theorists, colorblindness characterizes racialization in the early 21st century. And by colorblindness, I mean the notion that racism is no longer relevant or salient. Race consciousness, then, is essential because it is impossible to investigate racism's contributions without explicitly naming racism. And one begins the public health critical race praxis research process by first assessing racialization and how it's failing in their own personal life, and also how it might influence their relationship to the work that they're undertaking. Critical reflection. For public health critical race praxis, critical self-awareness, especially regarding personal privilege and racial relations, can inform a research team's interactions with community members, study participants, and also the interactions among team members of the research team. Throughout the research process, members of the research team strive for self-awareness by identifying ways that their a priori assumptions might influence the findings, or that their identities or social positions, for example, their levels of educational attainment, might influence power dynamics in their interactions with participants or recruits. This critical reflection can occur at the individual level, so it can be something that one individual engages with, that an entire research team engages in, but it could also be as broad as an entire academic discipline engaging in critical self-reflection. Scientific knowledge. like other knowledge, is socially constructed, meaning that it is shaped by and thus reflects aspects of the historical, social, and political context in which it is conducted. Accounting for this social construction is particularly important in research-heavy fields such as public health, where there might be an over-reliance, I would say, on the objectivity of science, such that it blinds us to the influences of racialization on a project's assumptions, methods, and conclusions. As Larry Bobo, the sociologist, has noted, however, quote, data never speak for themselves. It is the questions we pose and those we fail to ask, as well as our theories, concepts, and ideas that bring a narrative and meaning to marginal distributions, correlations, regression coefficients, and statistics of all kinds. Unquote. To limit the inadvertent influence of racialization on research, health crits use a racial lens, i.e. race consciousness, to critically examine the tools of knowledge production even as we're carrying out the research. Race consciousness, critical self-reflection, and social construction are but three of the public health critical race praxis. Concepts. My panel members have been exploring ways to conduct vaccine research that are attentive to the issues of racialization and ethics and issues that go beyond what I've raised here. So I turn the panel over to them. Thank you.